You guys, oh my gosh. I'm not even going to hide my disgust right now. You guys, I just had a major technical mishap. I'm going to tell you, you're going to laugh, but I am livid right now. I literally just went through this whole episode and I thought I was recording it and I just looked at my screen to quote unquote stop it and nothing was recorded. I just said oh my gosh, that is the first time I've ever done that. And I am going to blame my half brain function right now. Yeah, I'm still not 100%. Oh my gosh, you guys, I just spent 35 minutes talking about this song. Okay. Resolve, regroup. We're gonna do this better and it's gonna be great. My voice is still a mess. No, I'm not 100%, but yesterday was the first day in about 2 weeks where I felt more present, meaning I didn't realize I was that exhausted that I simply was I just was not in myself. I was not spunky. I had none of that. My personality was greatly diminished. My husband said that to me the other day. He said, "You are not yourself." And I was so tired. And then yesterday, after I'd been taking really high doses of iron because my reserves are right now, I finally started feeling a little bit more spry again and chipper. And I'm still really tired, but because I'm more within my brain again and I feel more enthusiastic about things and life in general, I thought, okay, I'm going to do this dive. I'm going to do a queen deep dive. And I did. I talked about it. I talked about the whole thing. I cannot tell you how upset I am right now. I keep staring at my screen just to make sure it's still recording my voice. I can't believe I didn't notice. Oh my word. All right. I'm not going to be mad. I'm not going to be mad. Okay. This is going to be good. It's going to be even better. Aren't you glad you're doing this with me? All right. Yes, it's a Queen deep dive day. And I was, you know, I'm excited about this. Yes, I'm still excited to share this with you. I'm a little bit nervous, if I'm honest, because what I'm going to tell you today might be very surprising. I'm going to disclose an opinion with you that it might make your jaw drop. You might go, whoa, I never thought I'd hear this from her. But we're going to get into all that. And I think if I'm going to do one thing different this time than I did the first time I talked all about this, I'm going to save all of my opinions and all of my thoughts about it personally until the end, because I want to get through the facts. I want to get through all of that nitty gritty, and let's just roll and let's just do this. And I still cannot believe I didn't record it. Okay. This is dive number 135. We're on track 7 of Queen's 12th album from 1986. Of course, you guys know it, A Kind of Magic. And this hard rock, heavy metal elements included, lots of aggression, guitars, and more guitars. In Brian Moody May, of course, you know how much I love to call him Moody May. He's my favorite composer in Queen. This number from him, and a huge contrast from his previous number, which we just talked about, Who Wants to Live Forever. I'm amazed these songs came from the same man. The dynamics of Brian, the dynamics of Queen at their finest. Dive number 135. Did I already say that? I don't even know. This was the B-side. This was the B-side to A Kind of Magic, released in the U.S. Of course, if you rewind, go back to the kickoff for A Kind of Magic, you'll be reminded that the boys chose different songs, singles to release stateside versus Across the Pond. It was a little bit of a competition of sorts to see whose song was going to perform better at any given time. I'm still really surprised that this song was a B-side to A Kind of Magic because, well, okay, we're not going to get into that just yet. I'm just surprised it was chosen as the B-side, but maybe they chose it because they were running out of songs to choose from the album A Kind of Magic. 85 BPM, not terribly fast, this one. It kind of pounds and crashes along, lumbers slowly but very aggressively in the time signature of 4-4 in three keys, B minor, D flat major, and B flat major. Of course, this definitely emphasizes the minor tonality. So even though we have some major here, it feels more like a whisper or a suggestion of it and not an outright major key. It's interesting. And I am the only one. Oh, yeah. That's what this is. We're talking about Gimme the Prize, Kurgan's theme. Arrogance and the lust for power. The aggression, the want, the need, the demand. The destruction. It's all in this song. Thank you, Mr. May. And even beside earlier, heavier numbers, I'm talking about Ogre Battle, Liar. Yes, very heavy numbers and early ones from Queen. Gimme the Prize stands as one of Queen's loudest, most decidedly rock songs ever. Brian took, he really took hold of this, digging into the aggression of the film's chief villain from Highlander. Yes, this, of course, is very much tied into the film Highlander. And Brian dove into this, took hold of it, really got lost in this idea. Hey, I want to make this for this villain, presenting a demand wrapped up in extremely distorted guitars, layers upon layers of them, driven home by Freddie's marvelously delivered vocals. Yes, full chest voice, loud and commanding and epic throughout the entirety. It's quite impressive. And together, Freddie and Brian dominate with repeated motifs, bent notes, cackles of laughter. Beautiful from Freddie. And a highly memorable bagpipe-like solo. Melodic transitions are minimal. Chord changes are more predictable, perhaps motivated or determined by the need to keep this simpler within the context of the film. This feels very much like a Brian Freddie collab, as oddly enough, Roger's usual flair and panache is replaced by repetitive crashing rock beat drums. There's a lot of space between the percussion and this song. Really, it's the guitars. Freddie's voice is, of course, prominent, as it always is, but Brian's guitars are the main star here. Some very splashy cymbals, only the occasional fill of percussion. It seems very, very restrained. The drums are certainly there and very loud, but the buttery textures Roger is so well known for are very absent. Similarly, John's bass merely emphasizes the weight of this song rather than owning its low frequency presence. We don't have a lot of melodic movement from him. In fact, with all of these layers of guitars, both high and low, the bass is nearly lost here. Of course, we know everyone gave everything to make this loud and ferocious. The guys are always giving everything into a song, even if they're not as big a fan of it. And we're going to talk all about that some more as we get into this. I really want to gush and talk about this song and my personal opinion of it, but I'm trying really hard to restrain myself until we get to the end. This song was never played live. Now, I found an article about this song, a fairly recent one, that claimed this was a live favorite and that it's a huge fan favorite, which isn't, I suppose, entirely untrue. I have read positive praise, I'm sorry, that's redundant. I've read praise from fans on Reddit about this song, but not in large numbers. And this is why I always talk about be careful what you read, be careful what you cite as fact, because that article was all about how audiences loved this song in a live setting, and it was so aggressive, and it was such a wonderful stage presence, and I'm sitting there going, okay, they never played this live, which is actually very interesting. I made a point to go back and verify. I was like, I just want to make sure I am right when I say that. Never played live. But surprising, we often talk about Queen's incredible, aggressive, loud live performances, and this song would have been no exception. In fact, why it wasn't used as some sort of an interlude, maybe Brian played some motifs occasionally between numbers to transition from one segue into another song. I don't know that for certain, but I do know this would have been interesting to play live. Why didn't they? Is it because it's so high? Freddie sings very high in full chest voice. He's practically shouting. I'm not even sure he's using the right technique here. He is really loud, scratchy, distorted voice. A lot of laughing and cackling, and that part of it's brilliant. love when Freddie puts on a face and puts on a character like this. He's really good at putting himself into a role and putting every single ounce of energy into his performance. All of the guys are good at this. Of course, Brian too. This is his song. Surprising as it is, coming from, you know, Who Wants to Live Forever and going into this, we think, wow, this is the same guy. Brian's really going to town with his guitar here. If there's one thing about the song that is incredibly impressive, it's the guitar. But I think hearing this live, seeing this live, would have perhaps made it a more cohesive number. It would have been great to see and hear all four of the boys performing together on the stage with this, because I wonder what this was like in the studio. I wonder what the... Okay, we've talked about how in the past there have been songs that one or more of the boys weren't crazy about, whether it was the general composition of it and the style or the production. One of the first things that comes to mind for me is Roger's opinion about the production for Under Pressure. He was never a huge fan of the way it turned out, especially the vocal performances from Freddie and David and how they don't sound even. But there have been whole albums that one or more Queen was not crazy about. Looking at you, Hot Space. So we know not everybody's always on the same page, but they're very democratic. They compromise. They play what people want to play, and if it works, it works. Why am I going into such elaborate detail about this? Well, let's talk about some fun facts. You'll get a little more context here. Supposedly, and this is an interesting, cool fact, this song has the distinction of being the band's last song without any synthesizers. I'm going to say it again, without any synthesizers. I'm even talking about the songs that come later that sound more inspired by Queen's classic approach of production and style. Yes, even those songs had synthesizers. Synthesizers, mid to late 80s, just became part of the norm. They were default. It's like pitch correction on vocals these days. A synthesizer was always present in a song. Even if you had tons of guitars, live drums, et cetera, orchestra, synthesizers are usually still there. It's pretty rare that no synthesizer at all is used anymore. And this song is supposedly the last Queen song without any synthesizers, which is pretty cool when you consider that all we have here are live drums, live bass, really heavy, distorted, tons and tons of guitars, and of course, Freddie. Incredible Freddie, and that sharp, razor sharp vocal performance of his. And though this song was used in the film Highlander, it's their second song in the film, with dialogue included, of course, film director Russell Mulcahy confirmed this was his least favorite of the band's songs used in the film. He does not like heavy metal. And Brian also commented to a Japanese magazine in 86 that both Freddie and John hated this song. Freddie and John hated this song. This is a, if it's really true, and I'll talk a little bit more about this as I get into band critique. If this is a really true statement, that is interesting to me. And I've thought about this, why that might be the case. If it's true that both Freddie and John hated this song, let's consider affinity for genre with each of the boys at this point. We're in the mid going into the late 80s here. We know that Freddie and John, let's talk about Hot Space again. That was their jam. Freddie and John loved that album. It was Motown funk dance, much more inspired by those genres as opposed to the classic rock. Brian and Roger, on the flip side, not as big of fans of Hot Space. So it stands to reason that Freddie and John, they definitely have this affinity for those sounds that are just generally lighter and not so heavy. Hated this song. Now, there are several versions of Gimme the Prize called the I versions. And this is I-E-Y-E with the Y capitalized, used in the video game Queen the I. And these versions omit the film dialogue and the sound effects, which are very heavily featured on the album cut. The lengthy cinematic opening, though we miss that awesome guitar intro. And I believe these versions also include some sort of phased synthesizer atmosphere that happens in the bridge before the bagpipe solo. Ends rather anticlimactic without any sound effects. Though all of that said, I do actually prefer these versions, these I versions, because they don't have all of that clunky sound and the dialogue. It's interesting. A lot of Queen songs that are written for a film can stand up on their own, save the ones from maybe Flash Gordon that are just atmospheric synth elements mostly. But a lot of the feature songs that have lyrics, vocals, stand very well on their own. This is, I think, an exception to that. I don't want to get into too many details yet because this is my opinion, but let's just start with that, that I feel that Gimme the Prize doesn't stand up as well as a piece that's entirely complete within Queen's catalog. All right, a little band critique for you. Brian from A Kind of Magic, I think I only have quotes from Brian, A Kind of Magic published by Tabak Marketing Limited in 1990, but this quote might actually be originally from 86. Quote, there's a song called The Prize. Interesting that he says The Prize and not Gimme the Prize. A song which is based around the Kurgan's theme, which the Kurgan is the bad guy in the Highlander movie. And I wrote this piece for him. And then once the film was out of the way, I was able to make it into a complete song. Unquote. We'll talk about that some more a little bit later here. And Brian in 1986. And I actually was not able to attribute this quote to a specific source. And this is where I'm a little unsure, but here it is. Quote, I made a song called Gimme the Prize, which Freddie and John hate, unquote. Okay. You guys know how much trouble I go to verify a quote. In fact, I just saw a supposed quote from Brian literally a few days ago. And my first thought was, first of all, the way it was phrased did not sound like him. And I believe he was talking about technique and playing, performing a song or something on the guitar. And all I could think was, this man is meticulous. He is a perfectionist. So one, the way this quote was written did not sound like it would ever come from that man's mouth. And two, what was said also did not feel like a Brian thing. I've listened to so many interviews. I've watched so much footage of him talk. I've read so many things he's written on social media. I just could not in any world imagine that he said those words. And I wish I could think of the quote, but I don't know what it was. I just remember seeing it on Reddit, actually, I think. And everybody was like, I don't think that was him. And this is not the first time. People have been making up quotes forever, but I feel as though a lot of people feel more empowered these days to do it even more because of AI and what have you. People are just having fun with coming up with stuff, you know, oh, write a quote that's attributed to Brian May in the style of blah, blah, blah. And they're putting these prompts in perhaps, and they're coming back with it. I don't even know. I don't believe hardly anything I read anymore, unless I hear it directly from somebody's lips, or it's an old article from when the song or the single or the album was dropped, then I know I can trust it. But anything nowadays, I'm very, very skeptical, and I'm always quick to question. So that is an instance where I'm actually not quite sure if this quote is real. I did find it mentioned on multiple websites exactly as it was written. But again, some of that stuff becomes fact when it's not. I have another great example of this. Michael Jackson being inspired to do the Thriller album from Another One Bites the Dust. That is basically an urban legend that has now been written in as fact so many places. And I got to tell you, if you want to know more about that, just go back and listen to my Another One Bites the Dust dive. I went into detail about that. You can look it up yourself if you want. Take from that what you will. But that is a great example of something that you'll read it everywhere and there's not a lot of validity to it. So just be careful what you believe. I included this quote because if it's true, and it could be, it's very interesting that we have two queens who, quote unquote, hated this song. Hated it. And they're not the only ones, apparently. Rolling Stone, here's my how dare they for you. Quote, Freddie whisks greedy demands, give me the prize, into a busy froth. Unquote. Now, they're not entirely wrong about this. I don't ordinarily ever agree with Rolling Stone, hardly ever. And this is quite harsh, as is the norm. But when you consider the structure of this song, especially in comparison to other Brian numbers or Queen numbers in general, there might be some truth to that statement. I know, shocking. I do have some praise for this, and mostly fans praise this for its vocal aggression, Freddie's super high belts, loud, gritty the entire time, and Brian's bent notes on the guitar in those bagpipe riffs. And we're going to talk all about it now, my breakdown. We start. Brian's full-on guitar intro. All of those half steps, the trill-like patterns, the runs, it really is quite impressive. It's very fast. It's a little preview of what we're going to get on the next album, which is so ridiculous and awesome. But these background power chord guitars appear as Brian's solo intro rises into oblivion. It just spirals out. Cue the Highlander sound ambience, chatter, screaming. It's like this soundtrack thing. It also left a man's decapitated body lying on the floor next to his own severed head, a head which at this time has no name. Groaning, deepening chord glissandos, that hard edge. The rough guitars fall, but the lower bass notes rise to the minor third. Higher treble guitars wind and bend. I know his name. I cannot say that deep enough. Crash! And here he is. Here he is. He even announces it. Here I am. I'm the master of your destiny. B sharp minor. A, B minor, rockin' riff, that one. Hey, the drums are heavy and brash. I gotta say, that riff is kind of addicting. Crashing and slapping hard, E, D, A chords. Straightforward, powerful chords. And that wonderful cackle from Freddie. Ah-ha-ha-ha! The motif rises, repeats. Higher guitars layering into the mix. Note that the notes of the guitar melody shift, but the basic chord retains its shape. So those variations. It's not until the next phrase in which Freddie demands, give me the prize, just give me the prize, that we drop to G, the sixth, A, seventh, B minor, the tonic. All the while, the guitars groan and wind up, rising in intensity with these chords. And as Freddie harshly demands, the drums beat amplified and the guitars never miss a beat. Shift chord into F sharp briefly. But second verse, give me your kings. Let me squeeze them in my hands. Oh, I'll admit, I like that line. I love the delivery from Freddie there. And cymbals, hello. It's wonderful to hear you. Every beat aggressive and ecstatic. Brian's guitar melody echoes Freddie's verse. I'm impressed Freddie has such enthusiasm, actually, if he truly hated this. More harshness and loudness and hot rock and roll. Extended verse. I'll eat them whole before I'm done. The battle's fought and the game is won. Variations of Brian's guitar chords in the back. Just give me the prize. I can't even, my voice is still out of it. I can't even do it. Freddie, we hear ya. Multiple times over, we hear ya. Truly amazing the way he sings and amplifies these high chest notes. Here comes the film dialogue. It shifts into this droning, groaning thing, but not before a tricky guitar panning phase, shifting from left to right and back, sinking into the moment. Now you die! C sharp major, but it's all mixolydian and hard to hear that major tonality. The beat continues on. Clanging of swords, tragedy, explosions, McLeod's wife aghast. Oh, it's better to burn out than to fade away. There can be only one. I've actually been saying that wrong. I've been saying there can only be one so many times on my podcast. Finally, cymbals and glittering atmospheres as Brian plays the bagpipe solo. I confess, I did not realize This was like bagpipes. I don't know how I missed this because, guys, the Highlander film clearly shows where MacLeod comes from, the culture, the country. We know the kilts, we see it. And for some reason, this moment in this song, the bagpipe solo, that tonality escaped me. But there it is. I had to go back and listen to it. Once I read that comment from others, I was like, okay, yeah, I hear it. The bass tone drones on, as is characteristic of that Scottish style. The drums are on every beat. Finally, I hear John's bass appear on its own. Up until this point, it's been very layered, drowned out by the guitars and all that distortion and scratchiness. It's been this very supportive player, but not a presence on its own. Into B flat, Brian continues with another solo, more melodic and bluesy, plenty of bent notes, distortion, as we've heard heavily. Some fantastic runs, though. A crash onto the left as yells and screams appear again. Into the intro, droning again. Move over! I said, move over! Another verse. There's no escape from my authority. Didn't I tell ya? More of the same, but Freddie reaches high and screams one more time. Explosive chorus, and as we would expect, everything comes crashing down. Glass, stone, everything. It's just this gigantic implosion of the entire sonic landscape collapsing in on itself as this ends. And that's why the ending of the I versions is so interesting, because it doesn't have that kind of crash. It just sort of stops, if you will. But there you have it. That is Gimme the Prize. And here's my thing about it, you guys. This is probably my least favorite Queen song. Yeah. Probably out of every single song they've done, even the B-sides, which I may or may not talk about on my podcast, actually. There's a few I really love. I don't dislike this song, before you jump to conclusions, but I don't dislike anything Queen does. I have there's an enjoyment for everything. But this one, and I've felt the exact same way since I first heard it, something about this doesn't grab me at all. And even though we've had earlier songs, plenty of songs actually, where one or more Queen was entirely absent. In fact, the previous number, John did not play on Who Wants to Live Forever on the album. He's nowhere to be heard. But that song doesn't lose anything because of that. This song has all four Queens present, but something about the way it's played, something about within the context of the film, having seen it there and having that connection. Okay, let's talk about that. I finally figured out why I don't care for it. The chord changes are fewer, making this far less interesting a song. For Brian, it sounds very basic and boring, and I can't believe I'm using that word. The inclusion of the dialogue, kind of similar to some Flash Gordon tracks, makes this less of a cohesive song and more of an incomplete idea. Despite several fun riffs and those memorable vocal moments, Brian talked about taking this and making it a standalone song. I don't feel like it stands up that well. It's difficult to pull it out of the film once you hear it within it. And the first time I heard it, I didn't see the film for a long time. So that just tells you that even for someone who heard it strictly audio only, without any visual reference, without any reference to the film at all, something about this felt lackluster to me. And mostly, this just doesn't feel like Queen. I know this was for a film and a story. And I know Queen will do and can do every genre ever. We talk about Queen taking everything and making it rock. But Queen just isn't harsh, power-hungry, demanding in screaming and shouts like this. They're more celebratory than that. Even if they demand you sing along or enjoy life, Don't Stop Me Now. This is very much a Brian song, though Freddie does demanding very well here. Roger's role, despite the heavy rock drumming, it feels very diminished, as does John's. I lose them both here. It's not nearly as melodic as most Queen songs. This, to me, is the rock noise I don't typically care for. I am not a huge heavy metal fan. Now, don't get me wrong. I will listen to Rob White Zombie. There are songs that are the go hard, okay? And I love them, and I think they're great, and they're very repetitive, but they're kind of fun. They're energetic. I mean, oh my goodness. I could run 10 miles listening to some of those songs. And you know, a lot of earlier, heavier Queen songs as well. And that's not to say that if, for example, I'm going for a run and I'm listening to A Kind of Magic and I'm letting the playlist just go, I'm going to listen to this song, Give Me the Prize. I'm going to listen to it and it's going to give me a boost. But for reasons, I just, something about the structure of this, it feels more like pieces of ideas. It doesn't engage me. It loses me a little bit. And I don't know what that's all about. I don't know if it's the lack of melodic interest. I don't know if it's the very repeated, you know, we've got a lot of those bent notes that kind of push and pull that. I don't know. I have no idea exactly what it is. Freddie sounds fantastic. The performances here are not to be, I almost said they're not to be trifled with. They're not to be truffled with. Looking at you, Michael Scott. I almost said that. There's nothing wrong with the performances here. I'm not saying that because Roger and John sound diminished that they're playing badly. I'm simply saying that it's almost like there's this weird subconscious. It's almost like they're just pulling back, even though this is so loud. And I don't know, what was it like in the studio when these guys were doing this? Was there animosity? Was Freddie reluctant to do it? He's like, okay, fine, darling, I will do this. I'll scream it, I'll shout it, I'll do whatever you want. Obviously, they did play these diplomatic roles. They said, okay, I'm not in love with this, but let's do it, let's use it. This song is interesting to me because it is so weird in their catalog to me, and I can't figure out exactly what it is. But that's just it, is it doesn't feel as much like Queen, even though clearly it's Freddie and the boys, you know, Brian. This is very much his baby. You can tell. There's so much emphasis. The guitars are really the star, you know, right alongside Freddie, all these guitars, all of this weight and aggression. And there are some very complex, impressive moments from Brian here. But yeah, I was hoping as I listened to this song so many times and I broke it down and I read as much as I could find about it and there wasn't as much to read, but I was hoping my opinion might change. Even as I realized, oh, that's a bagpipe solo sounding thing. Even as it suddenly hit me that that's what it's meant to evoke. This song just hasn't grabbed me. You know how sometimes you listen to a song or maybe perhaps an entire album or a section of an album and you don't get it. You just don't get it. And then all of a sudden out of nowhere, maybe a year, maybe 5 years later, you dig it up and you listen to it again. And because you've been through something in life or things have changed, you suddenly find yourself loving it. It's like when I fell in love with the second half of Beck's album, The Information, and I was like, this is brilliant. I was hoping for that moment with Give Me the Prize, Kurgan's theme. And it has yet to happen. So I know you're probably really surprised. Oh my gosh, Charlie is not madly in love. She's picking apart this Queen song. This is harsh. I know it. What do you guys think about this song? Do you like Give Me the Prize? I do read praise from it. Occasionally, someone on the Queen sub will say this is their favorite song on A Kind of Magic. Because it's so hard and heavy, there are those fans that will always go toward those sounds and those attitudes and demeanors because that is their preference. They love that weight. They love that loudness. I think the performances are wonderful. I just don't care for the end product as much. It's very surprising and different, this one. And I'm especially amazed that the man who gave us the one-off, one of the best ever from the entire band, Who Wants to Live Forever, which has gone on to dominate best of list decades after the album's original release, without a major fanfare announcement, without any kind of big praise at the time of its release, Who Wants to Live Forever has continued to dominate, and the love for it is so immense, despite it never had a huge, huge release moment, but it continues to be such a well-loved song. And it's so soulful. Okay, that's just it. Even if you go back and listen to it, guys, you know how I was talking about like Rob Zombie and stuff. I'm not opposed to heavier early Queen either. In fact, I prefer it. Look at the speed metal. Stone Cold Crazy. I love that song. It's fast. There's something about the spirit of it and the innovation of it and the sheer joy of it. I know what the song's about, but there's still that kind of celebratory rock joy there. I love Stone Cold Crazy. And that's, you know, early speed metal. This is so many heavy metal elements in Give Me the Prize. And yet I can't get on the same train with it. It's like trying to force myself onto a track where the wheels just don't roll. And I think part of that too is it just feels like there's not as much heart and soul in this. And I don't know if Brian was just inspired, you know, they're watching the cuts for Highlander. They're all thinking, okay, what am I going to write about? What do I want to do? And Brian probably thought, well, this would be an interesting contrast. You know, I've got this melody. I've got this beautiful, gorgeous, lush, you know, heart-tugging, sweeping epic Who Wants to Live Forever. I'm going to do this fun little thing for the villain. And we're going to just go in and we're going to demand, you know, I'm the master of authority and I'm in and I'm going to take it. I'm going to get it. And there can be only one. And that's fun, you know, and maybe that's just it. Maybe I'm thinking too hard about this. You know, Queen, Brian included, even though I feel like his songs have a lot of meaning, and many of them do, really. I think Queen gets a bad rap sometimes for just doing songs where don't take us too seriously, where there are moments that are very heartfelt. But maybe this was just one of those moments where don't take it too seriously, just enjoy it. And here I am trying to make some sense of it. I'm second guessing myself. But the point is, to me, this lacks a lot of what makes Queen so memorable in a song. And I think the biggest reason for that is when you listen to the album cut, there's so much from the film that makes it obvious that it goes with the film. And to me, from the moment I first heard this, I thought, this is my least favorite song on the album. And it's probably my least favorite Queen song in general. Not like I'm going to rank every single 100 and blah, blah, blah songs there are. That would be impossible. But I can tell you right now, Give Me the Prize is always going to be probably in that bottom five. Even though I don't dislike anything the boys have done, it's just one of those songs that I guess I just don't get it. So what am I missing, guys? Do you think I'm wrong? If you really think I'm wrong, give me an earlier song. Take something I've talked about. You guys know I love it. And be like, Charlie, how did you miss this? This is just like this. Okay. If you're right, you're right. I am open-minded and open-eared. I'm going to go back and listen again. And hey, maybe I will be going on a run and I'll be listening to this album again and I'll hear Give Me the Prize and it will just hit me and I'll be like, this is amazing. This is incredible. Incredible. But that is Give Me the Prize, ladies and gents. And hey, tell me what you think. Do you like this song? Are you with me on the whole, I'm not quite sure about this, I forget about it? Well, how do you feel about Give Me the Prize? Just tell me. You guys know the drill. Keep yourselves alive. I'll be back next time, hopefully in better voice. Yes, I had to substitute a lot of those vocals. They're so high and they're so loud from Freddie. I had to just say them because my voice is not, I'm still on the prednisone. My iron reserves are still in the dumps. I still don't have a lot of energy. I have my sparkle back, I guess, but I'm trying. And I still can't get my words, guys. There are moments where I'm literally sitting there. I'm doing this in all instances right now, personally and professionally. I want to type something or write something or say something, and I'm just blank. I don't have it. I don't have my words. I'm not as robust in my vocabulary right now, so I'm trying. But hopefully next time I do a dive, and I was hoping I would be ready for the next dive. It's going to be an interesting one. The next song, we've only got two more songs until we're done with the album, A Kind of Magic. And the next one is, I think it polarizes the fandom a little bit. Actually, maybe not. Maybe it's a pretty unified opinion. But I have another interesting opinion about that song. There's some interesting things to talk about with versions of the song that I think might surprise you because I'd never considered it before and it changed my opinion a little bit. So we will go into that next time. But until then, yes, I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope your morning is bright, your day is great, your evening is fabulous. Wherever you're going, whoever you're with, whatever you're doing, I hope it's fabulous and wonderful. And I hope you are well and happy and healthy and all that jazz. So, I'll be back next time in folder brain mode. Until then, you guys, I gotta get some more rest.